Thank you, Administrator White and Chairman Dietz, and congratulations to the 2008 graduating class, the 34th graduating class of Calvary Christian Academy. I say to the school board, to the faculty, to the parents, and students and friends who've gathered this evening, we're witnessing a wonderful event, not only in the graduating of these before us, but the successful continuation of a ministry upon which God has singularly had his hand. And it is the result of a committed church, of committed parents, and wise leadership through all of these years under the leadership of your various pastors and school boards. And what a thrill it is for Mrs. Jennings and for me to be here this evening and participate in this event. I concur heartily with everything Mrs. Jennings said, and if I could sing, I would like to sing Precious Memories, How They Linger. I remember when we built these buildings and started the school here, and the various faculty members and school board members, some of whom were here in the beginning, like Carl Thomas, who is here this evening, and others. And so I thank you for inviting me to come and participate in this event and to just be a small part of the perpetuation of this Christian educational institution. We started Calvary Christian Academy, those many years ago, but there was a great need for a good Christian educational institution in this area. And there is an even greater need for this school in this present day. There are two major philosophies that motivate educational systems. One system, the secular system, focuses on how to get a job. The other, the Christian system, focuses on how to get a life. One majors on preparing one to labor, the other majors on preparing one to live. And these philosophies impact one's perspective on all of life. We either live to work and therefore serve only earthly goals, or we work to live and through our work serve God and a higher purpose in life. Therefore, my brief remarks this evening are intended to underscore the Christian view of life and its purpose. I want to talk to you about the art of living. And in the Epistle of James, there is a question that brings us face to face with ourselves and with our existence and the purpose of our existence. It is James chapter 4 and verse 14 and verse 15. James writes, "What is your life? It is even as a mist that appears for a little season and then vanishes away." And he goes on to say in verse 15, "You ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that." End of the verse. Now, there are two thoughts about life that I want to give you from these two verses. And the first has to do with the measuring of our lives, and the second with the meaning of our lives, which incorporates the art of living, or in other words, life's span and life's plan are seen in these two verses. First, the measuring of one's life will help us to be very artful in living the kind of life that we ought to live. As James says, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. James says that the span of physical life is brief. Life is very short. He says it's like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Whether you are a mister or a miss, you are but a mist. And someday we will be missed. And that should impact all of life. I believe that one of the greatest mistakes that we can make is to miscalculate the length of life, which when we are young, we have a tendency to do. God's word tells us in many ways that life is so very fragile and so very short if we would live to be 100. In view of eternity, it is such a short span of time. It is indeed a mist or a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away from this earth. There are many similes employed in the Bible to describe the brevity of life. I'd give you just a few of them, and as we see these reminders of the brevity of life, may those reminders help us to correct our course and refine the art of living. For instance, the Bible says that life is like a flower that blooms today and fades tomorrow. Life is like grass that grows today and is cut down tomorrow. Life is like a shadow. It is here, it is there, and it is gone. The Bible says life is like water spilled upon the ground. It rains, it's there for a short time, it seeps away. And then God says that life is like a journey. It is soon ended. And furthermore, the word tells us that life is like a tale that is told. I've heard many good stories. I've forgotten most of them. Life is like a story. We hear it and it fades from our memories. Then the Bible also says life is like a swift ship. I remember Doris and I standing on the beach in Hawaii coming back from the Far East in ministry, and we were standing there and far out on the horizon of the ocean was a four-masted schooner. And the sun was going down right behind it, and it was so beautifully silhouetted on the horizon. And we looked at it, and then we walked a piece, and it was over here, and then we looked at it again, and it was over here and over the horizon. The Bible says that is the way life is. It's like a swift ship. It's like a hand span that we measure horses by spans of hands. And life is so short. No one's hand span is very long. The Bible says life is like a deep sleep. We got in last night, flew in from California. We went to bed at 12:30. The alarm went off. We woke up, and I thought I had just gone to sleep. It just passes so fast. And the Bible says that's the way life is. And at my age, which is very young, I wonder where all these years that have been between the time we were here and now have gone. It's like a deep sleep. It's like, as James says, a mist or a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And so I would say to you and to all of us, in the light of what the Bible tells us about the brevity of life, We need to make sure that we refine the art of living and living as God wants us to live. For as Doris said earlier, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. A poet wrote about the brevity of life in these words. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, like the mist upon the mountain, like the waves of the sea, so quickly the years of our lifetimes flee. And so it behooves every one of us to make the very most of our lives. You have prepared for life. I congratulate you. In the office earlier, Miss White said that as far as she knew, all of the graduates are planning to go on to college, and that's a great thing. God bless you. And as you go, prepare to live for God regardless of what you do, whether you're a pilot or a plumber or a preacher, whether you are a teacher or whether you work behind a counter or behind a desk, whatever you do, whether you are a merchant just a parent at home, which is a great job. Hello, it's a great job. Don't buy the present philosophy that you're not doing anything if you're not employed outside the home. The greatest employment that we can have is to the job of raising our family the way we ought to. But regardless of what you do in life, prepare well for it and do it well. And through that work, bring glory to God. It is not an end in itself. Its purpose of work is to bring glory to God in whatever work you find yourself. We were talking, Ms. Jennings and I, on our way here, about the early days of Calvary Christian Academy. It seems like only months ago, when in fact it was over 30 years ago. Life is so short, and God's Word accentuates that, and so I want to encourage you not to make a fizzle out of your life. Abraham Lincoln used to tell the story of a blacksmith who wasted so much time because he was indecisive by nature. He one day was heating a piece of iron in the fire, and with the tongs he took it out of the fire when it became red hot, put it on the anvil with the hammer, he began to make a bit for the horse's mouth, and about the time it began to take the shape of a bit for a horse's mouth, he changed his mind and decided that he wanted to make a horseshoe out of it, and so he began to mold it or beat it into the shape of a horseshoe. And then he changed his mind again, decided he wanted to make a hinge for the barn door. But by that time, the iron had cooled off and it was no longer moldable. And he looked at it for a moment and with his tongs picked it up and said, "Well, at least I can make a fizzle out of it." And he went over to the rain barrel and stuck it down in the water, and it was... When life is young, it's moldable. Make up your mind and pursue the course without wavering. Ask God what He wants you to do. And do it in God's power and by God's grace and stick to it. Don't make a fizzle out of your life. When we count our time on earth, we usually count it in years, but God doesn't do that. God counts our time on earth in days, and so He says in Psalm 90 and verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." If you're going to refine the art of living, you need to measure life, realize life's span is short. Secondly, you need to understand the real true meaning of life. And that is God's plan for life. This second thought is there in James chapter 4 and verse 15, in which he says, "You ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we shall live. Now, that is a sermon in itself. If it's the Lord's will, we shall live. And then he goes on to say, and do this or that. The meaning of life cannot, I repeat, cannot be understood apart from God's will for our lives. The Christian's life is pre-planned by our Heavenly Father. God has a plan for our lives. It is called the will of God. He made us for a purpose, and only as we're fulfilling His purpose, and only as we are focusing on living a life that brings glory to Him, are we in the will of God. I read about a rock star that died and been very, very profitable to be in that business, and so he had plenty of money and lots of possessions. He had a new shiny Mercedes, and he wanted to be buried in his Mercedes. And they accommodated him and dug quite a big hole, grave, and got a crane, propped him up behind the wheel. This is a true story. I read a newspaper. If the newspaper's true, it's a true story. And I'm not sure the newspaper's always true. Propped him up behind the wheel. The crane lowered it into the grave. And a young bystander on the side was heard to say, "Man, that's living." No, that's dying. We live for the things of earth. That's the best. That's the very best that it will bring. There are many misgivings about the meaning of life. From our earliest school days, we were misinformed, in an unintentional way perhaps, about the reality and the importance of life. We were taught to sing a little song. Maybe it's not sung so much today, but we've all heard it. "Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Help me here." What's the rest of it? "Merrily, merrily, 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 what? Life is but a dream." You know it. You know it. Now, that's a psychological twister. Think about it. The rowboat philosophy is what so many today are following, class. The rowboat philosophy. That goes like this. Row, row, row your boat. Don't worry about the other guy's boat. Look out for number one. Don't be involved in anybody else's life. Row your own boat. It's me, myself, and I. I'm the center of the universe. That's the philosophy. Row, row, row your boat. Row, row, row your boat gently. Don't rock the boat. Don't make waves. Row it gently. Go with the flow. Go easy. That's the rowboat philosophy. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Think about that, class. Are you going down the stream? Are you going with the crowd? You don't have to row if you're going downstream. Put the oars in the boat, lean back, and then just coast. And that's the idea that many people have about life. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. I have news for you. There are dreams in life, but there are nightmares also. Life is more than a dream. And one day we awaken and are overwhelmed by the reality of life. No, rowboat philosophy is not a philosophy for a Christian. There is no responsibility in rowboat philosophy. There is no responsibility in rowboat philosophy. This world is filled with dead people who think that they're living. The majority of persons have not submitted their lives to Jesus Christ, and therefore they're trying to figure out life for themselves, leaving God out They know nothing about the will of God. And though other human beings may elevate them and praise them, they are total failures in the eyes of God. You have started life right. You have sought a Christian education. For God's sake and for your sake and society's sake, please do not abandon it. As James says, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. That is how to discover and deliver the art of living. We should be continually asking, do my plans for life mesh with God's will for my life? Some of you have worn, maybe are wearing now, the WWJD bracelet. What would Jesus do? That's a good question. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, in these words, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Two thoughts there. God has prepared us to do good works. And secondly, he's prepared the work he wants us to do. Don't take second best. Find out the work God wants you to do and glorify him in it. That is art, the Christian art, the art of living. Many notables have missed the art of living. You've studied in school some of these, if not all of these, reputable ones, these literary greats, so-called. Robert Browning said, life is an empty dream. Edmund Cook said, life is a hollow bubble. Shakespeare said, life is a walking shadow. Colton said, life is the jailer of the soul in this filthy prison. Mary Roberts Reinhart said, a little sleep, a little work, a little love, and it's all over. Voltaire said, we never live. We're always in the expectation of living. Campbell wrote, life is a dusty corridor closed at both ends. Samuel Butler said, life is one long process of getting tired. Now, we understand the getting tired part, but there's more to life than just getting tired. These are empty commentaries on the subject of our existence. And how refreshing and inspiring the words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. And I hope that that will be forcefully imprinted upon your minds the rest of your lives. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it in abundance. Again, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, go it. He is the truth, know it. He is the life, show it in your lives. Thomas A. Kempis said, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. Believe it and fashion your lives according to it. Michelangelo, the famous painter and sculptor, was challenged by his teacher to chisel out of a piece of granite an angel, a life-size angel. And Michelangelo worked for many months, chiseling, sanding, and shaping this stone into the image of an angel. He gave it his very best. Finally, he said to his teacher, this is the best I can do. And the teacher appointed a day in which he would come and investigate it and rate his success or failure. On that day, Michelangelo got there early and hid in the closet adjacent to the room in which the statue was located. And his teacher came in and spent quite some time looking at this statue. He went all around it, thinking and viewing it. And finally he said aloud, "It lacks but one thing." And he left the room. Michelangelo, hiding in the closet, overheard him say, "It lacks but one thing." He was devastated. He went into deep depression. After some weeks, he finally confessed to his teacher that he'd been hiding and he had overheard him say, "It lacks but one thing." And he said, "Please tell me what it lacks." And his teacher said, "Oh, it lacks life." It was so real. It was so good. It was so perfect that all it had to do was breathe. It lacked life. What a commendation. What a tribute to Michelangelo's skills. I say to you that we might shape our minds, shape our work, shape our families, shape our bodies down to the gymnasium. But if it lacks life, it is but stone. And I say to you today, on this epochal occasion, major in the art of living for Jesus Christ, and you'll not lack the life, you will have the life and look the life. What is the meaning of life? Real life is the possession of those who are alive in Jesus Christ and are living out His design and desire for them. So learn life's span and learn and live life's plan, and you will be majoring in the art of living. And say repeatedly, "After all He's done for me, after all He's done for me, how could I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely after all He's done for me?" So, the Christ life is a challenge. Meet it. The Christ life is an adventure. Enjoy it. The Christ life is a journey. Walk it. The Christ life is a struggle. Fight it. The Christ life is a duty. Perform it. The Christ life is a song. Sing it. The Christ life is an opportunity. Seize it. Seize it. And don't fail to think of it carefully, study it prayerfully, deep in thine heart let its oracles dwell, ponder its mystery, slight not its history. None can e'er love it too fondly or well. Heed the glad tidings, the warnings and chidings found in this volume of heavenly store. With faith that's unfailing and love that is prevailing, trust in its promises for life evermore. And may God bless you.